one opportunity of many opportunities. First of all, if you aren't familiar with all the different things that are going on to serve our world and to serve one another as a church family, many of those efforts and ministries are exemplified here at these tables, and there will be a person at each booth to tell you more about those. Could be that you've been very involved in one area, and you've been pouring your energy and your resources into a certain area, and you may not know much about some of the other areas of the congregation. So we want to give energy every year, and this week, or around this week, we do Resolution Sunday, and it's a way to every year remind one another of where do all the resources go of time and energy, as well as contributions and monies. The first thing I want to remind you of is that without this piece of property, most of these things that we do good for God's great work, it would be very difficult to accomplish those. Others, we do these out in the neighborhoods and out in the communities, and we don't require physical property. But this physical property costs our congregation a lot of our resources, but it's also a beacon of light, hopefully, to our neighborhood and our community. So we just want to remember all the good things that are being done here in our church family. So as you go around and take some time today to get to know what's happening, I want you to be thinking about what does it have to do with Jesus? What does it have to do with Jesus to come here on a Wednesday night and to bring a plate of, Mary Alice, what is it we cook every Wednesday night? Enchiladas. I said we, but I've actually never cooked any enchiladas, which is great for the people who eat the enchiladas, Sue. It's a good thing for them. Or if you were to pick up the laundry and take it to get washed, or you take it to the laundromat for the homeless linens for the homeless ministry, if you donate resources and for the food pantry so people can have a bag of groceries when they come by the church through the week and they don't have any food, if you are to help with the Mexico mission, whether you physically attend or whether you write an extra check. One thing I want to remind the congregation, this is something we've always struggled with in church work as long as I've been alive, is that we often do some special contributions, and we sign up for a special thing, and we get really excited about that special area, which is fantastic that you have an opportunity to pour your energy into one narrow path of God's great work. But I want to remind you that when you write a check to help buy turkeys for Christmas baskets, if you don't put that same amount of money you would put in the contribution, then that affects how we pay the light bill, how we water the grass, and so on and so forth. Does that make sense? So we just want to remember that it's beautiful when you get fired up about a certain area, but we have to remember that we got to kind of help contribute to everything as a family. So find a niche, find an area that you're in love with, get to know people that are involved by going today to look at the tables and get more information. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk, starting right now, this is my shortest sermon in human history. I'm going to preach for 10 minutes. Doctor, you ready? Okay. And then we're going to talk about Jesus for 10 minutes, and then we're going to take a break, and as a part of my sermon, you're going to illustrate the sermon by going to the tables and getting involved, and I'm praying and hoping that you will write down a name in order to get involved in a particular area. Maybe you'll sign up for two or three things. Human development. So this is what's happening to me. I was a baby. I was a toddler. I was an elementary school kid. I got to be a young adult, and I'm not so young anymore. I'm moving toward the cane every day, getting closer and closer to the cane every day, right? And so my body is human, and it's bones and blood. And Jesus talked about bones and blood, and he told one of his disciples when his disciples got preoccupied with being afraid of death and being afraid of getting hurt or being scared. And Jesus says, Peter, what you're talking about, this is not about your spirit. This is coming from your flesh and your blood and your bones. He's saying, this is your body saying, I'm afraid. Our bodies say, I don't know if I want to go there. It's scary. I don't know if I'm capable of helping teach in the children's ministry because I'm scared. I don't know if I should step out and say hello to that visitor and be a part of the visitor ministry because I'm scared that they may think I'm stupid or something. Most of the roadblocks between Christians and Christianity is fear. Most of everything that keeps us from moving outward out of ourselves into God's great work and God's great world is fear. We get afraid. And I want you to know that I feel that fear just like you do. I feel fear as well. And fear cannot get in the way of God's church doing God's great work. But it is a normal part of human development, right? Why do people fear riding the bicycle the first time they ride the bicycle? Because they might what? They might fall down. I'm 50 years old. I'll be 51 in 6 days or 5 days. Woohoo! My mother died at 51. This is a reality week for me. It's a big reality check for me. My mother died at 51. So everything, Ronell, from here on out, it's icing on the cake, baby. It's icing on the cake. Because every year after 51, I will be on the planet to live and do God's great work more than my mother had. And so this is a big week for me. It's a big year for me. Because I don't know how far I'll get on the growth chart. But what I do know is I have today. Amen? I have this week. I have another breath. I have another word. I have one more opportunity to love another soul, to offer another breath of hope to another child of God. Let's go to the next slide. Here we see a few pictures that identify Jesus' human development. Jesus was also a person. He was also human. He also felt the same human emotions that you feel. No, Jesus did not sin. He did not sin. But he got scared. He got overwhelmed. He got triggered. And what did he do when he got triggered and he got overwhelmed? He turned to God in prayer. Sometimes even Jesus' humanity had to leave his friends. Okay? He had to get away from his friends and go off by himself, Betty, and be with God. Because sometimes being with his friends didn't always help. Right? So the church, we need each other. But we need God more. We need God more. And so when Jesus was growing and learning, he went to a river to be baptized. Let's go to the next slide. So Jesus grew in knowledge. He grew as a physical person. He experienced things. He learned things. He got scared. He got overwhelmed. And he would turn to God. He would be about his Father's business when the rest of the world was being about their own business. He was preoccupied with God's business when, like most of us, he was preoccupied with his own self and his own fears. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Jesus came from Galilee to John, his cousin, at the Jordan. And he went there, Matthew says, to be baptized by John. This is the will of God for Jesus to be baptized. So was this why Jesus was baptized? Because he had to be baptized? Because God told him to be baptized? What's the point of being baptized? When Jesus had been baptized, as he came up out of the water, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God like a dove descending on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." What was so pleasing to God about Jesus being baptized? What did John say to Jesus when Jesus said, "Baptize me"? What did John say? "Oh, no, no, not me." Because, see, John knew. When he was growing up, he was being taught that you're going to spread the news. You're going to let the world know that the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. That was his job. And so he had been spreading the news. Repent, for the kingdom of God is on its way. Repent, because the Messiah is coming. And then the Messiah comes to John at the river, and he says, "Baptize me. Bury me down in the water. Cleanse me. Be a part of God's cleansing of my sin, of my darkness, of my humanity, of my flesh." And John said, "Whoa, you're the Messiah. I can't baptize you," right? "You baptize me," right? "I'm not worthy." God became flesh and dwelt among us. God became human and took on blood and bone so that God could help us to understand how much he loves us in our human bodies, in our blood and bones. God loves your blood and bones. God loves your fear. God loves you when you're frustrated and angry and overwhelmed and depressed and sad. God loves you. He doesn't love you when you're just divine and supernatural in your behavior. God just loves you. The way that you love a little baby when it's helpless and weak and it cries and it wakes you up at night. That's how God loves you. He doesn't love you just when you graduate from college and make all the right decisions and pay off your mortgage and are faithful to your spouse. God loves you all the time. Jesus teaches us what it means to empty ourselves of our fear, of our aggression, of our competitive nature to win. And Jesus surrenders his human body, his bones and his blood and his flesh to be buried in water and to be cleaned up and made born again anew like every other human who would follow Jesus would do. Amen? Everybody that ever followed Jesus. You know what? Baptism is debated all over Christendom. It's debated about how you do it. It's not debated if you should. Okay? It's not a debate. There's no debate in all of Christendom across the globe for thousands of years. There's no debate of if you should be baptized into Jesus. That's not the debate. The debate is how does it work? When should you do it? What happens exactly when you do it? That's what the debate is. The debate is not should you give up yourself and be born new to God. That's not a debate. I've never met a Christian who didn't believe that was a part of the journey. A part of growing into Christ is to surrender yourself and empty yourself and say, enough of me and more of God. Enough of me and more of you, God. That's what the story of Jesus, the narrative of his baptism, is to remind us that we are on the planet to empty ourselves and say, more of you and less of me. Let's go to the next slide. So if Jesus was baptized to be a human example of emptying himself, and he was God, if God was big enough, strong enough, and mighty enough as God to humble himself to be empty, then should we humble ourselves and be empty? Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 8. Paul says, we should do nothing. Woo. Oh, I have 49 seconds left. Did you turn the slide off? All right, I will read that myself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, verse 8. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Do nothing. Do nothing. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. Nothing. That's a lot. Do nothing. Have you ever done anything out of selfishness? We have a human inclination to do that, don't we? Do nothing out of self and ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Empty yourself, Paul says. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Empty yourself. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. For though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. Now, what does this mean? This doesn't mean that Jesus didn't have within him the ability to grasp being God while he was on the planet. Jesus, the word in Greek that we see here, the word that we see is grasp, means exploited or by force. In other words, just like when Satan took him out into the wilderness, which we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, what did the old tempter say to Jesus? Command that this bread or the stone become bread. Jesus could have done that because he was God incarnate in flesh, but he chose not to do that because he wasn't on the planet to glorify his humanity and make himself just a superhuman. He was on the planet to show that God was emptying himself into human form, to teach us to empty ourselves. So when we show love to the world, we're not in some kind of competition to show that we're better at it than the Baptist or we're better at it than the Methodist. We're on the planet to just be like Jesus, which means every day we're just emptying ourselves to give glory to God. And Paul continues and says, Jesus could have just grabbed hold of the power. He could have commanded all the soldiers of the planet to be under his authority. He could have called 10,000 angels to save him from the cross. But Jesus didn't grasp that power, although he had the opportunity. He emptied himself. He did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped or to be taken by force, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, found in human form. Jesus humbled himself as he died on the cross. So for the next 15 minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to mill around here, and we really encourage you to stay in the building, please, and get to know what's happening in this church. Dave is going to come in 15 minutes and lead a prayer of anointing from God on all the work of the church and the work we don't even know about, right, Dave, that people are doing. And I believe we have a baptism today. Is that right? Yeah. So, Dave, whenever you do the prayer, we'll ask everybody to, you can just stay where we're at and we'll take a confession for baptism. And then we're going to go back to the tables and then we'll have, isn't this an exciting morning? I'm sorry, isn't this an exciting morning? There we are. Okay. All right. So dismiss. Go check out let's get all of our people. Go, ministry leaders, go to your tables first because you need someone to talk to when you get there. Can we hear it for all these folks who lead these ministries? Appreciate your hard work. But they don't do this by themselves. They have to have lots and lots and lots of teammates. So please join them. All right. Move over to the tables. Check those out. 15 minutes. Dave will call for a prayer and we will have a baptism.
turn this on.
Steve-o.
Hello. Test. I think I'm on. Can everyone hear me? Yes? All right. Thank you, everyone, for going around and signing up. And we're going to stop for just a moment and have a prayer and a baptism, I believe, is what Steve said. And then we'll still have plenty of time to come back and check out any of the booths that you did not make it to. Please check them out. Thank you, everybody, for signing up. Let's have a prayer now as we finish this this time. Lord, we are so thankful today for all of these people here and just their desire to be like you and to be Jesus in the world. And for all of these opportunities that we have, we thank you for our ministry leaders who organize this and just have a passion for all of these things, all these ways that we can help people in different ways, whether that's working with chronically ill children or practicing English with someone or bringing food, whatever that may be. We are just so grateful that that we can live this out, that we can live the life that Jesus led. And we thank you for